Take a copy of the Word and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 16. Revelation 16, we'll be reading this morning verses 1 through 12. 1 through 12. And the first six bowls of God's wrath. This is the very word of the living God. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God." And so the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "Righteous are you, who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judge these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent so as to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. That is God's word. As the Lord has prepared us in chapter 15 for the full pouring out of the judgment of wrath through the bowls, we hear a loud voice from the temple, which said to the seven angels who hold the bowls to go and pour them out upon those who are the wicked, Satan's followers. There is some parallel here as we look at the bowls with the plagues of Egypt, and you might see some of these things here. Throughout this present evil age, from Christ's birth and ascension to his second coming, he is using every department of the universe to punish the wicked and unrepentant persecutors of his people. Whoever refuses to be warned by the trumpets of judgment, remember the trumpets a few chapters ago, of judgment, if they do not repent and they don't heed that warning, they are destroyed by the bowls of wrath. And some judgments are used as warnings to others. And those of us living today have seen, we've heard of many judgments which God has brought down upon the wicked. And they serve as warnings to us in this world that if we don't repent, we too will be judged. And so we see six bowls. The first bowl shows that sometimes in these judgments, the Lord uses vicious and incurable ulcers and other incurable diseases to hurl the wicked into hell. Remember, the last couple of weeks we've looked at how this final judgment can come throughout time before the very final judgment, the day of the Lord, that the final judgment comes to individuals and they die and they're thrust into hell. And so that's what happens in the first bowl. These things are not judgments to hell for the believer. It shows clearly here that only those who had the mark of the beast and they worshipped his image, false worship, they are the ones who receive these things. The second bowl is poured out into the sea, showing that the sea sometimes is used to bring death to the wicked, thrusting them into hell through their death. How many times throughout history have we heard, seen, read about ships lost at sea, typhoons or hurricanes, storms that cause these things, which takes the lives of the wicked? It happens a lot. Every year it happens. Even this year, It will happen and has happened. The third bowl brings curses on the rivers and water sources, turning them into blood, making them literally undrinkable. And if one does drink from them, they die. The praise of the Lord is then given here, showing that there is this is the retribution that is deserved. Those persecuted saints that we've seen earlier in the book of Revelation, the church, who have had their blood spilt, they have prayed for vengeance from the Lord, for the Lord to execute His justice at the right time. And here is the wicked receiving that justice poured out, their blood poured out, just as they poured out the blood of others. True, it says, and righteous are Yahweh's judgments. The fourth bowl is poured out to cause the sun to scorch men, and so to cause people to die from heat exhaustion, other things that we could think of by burning, being burned by the sun, and to this the wicked blaspheme the name of God. The fifth bowl is poured out upon the beast and his throne, and so the throne must be here the center of anti-Yahweh worship, the anti-Yahweh government. Notice the finality in these judgments. It isn't the one-third of the sea and the one-third of the earth that we've and the one-third of the people that we've seen previously in Revelation. This is complete. This is here it says there is a completeness here. In the second bowl, we look back there, it was every living thing. Not one-third, it was every living thing. And so this is God's final wrath upon the wicked, casting them into hell. And then, lastly, this morning, the sixth bowl is poured out on the great river Euphrates. We have the name of the river. Drying it up, securing death immediately for the wicked. And I'm not really sure about the meaning of verse 12 or the last part of verse 12. But we do know this, that the Euphrates River takes us back to the Garden of Eden and God's mercy there and sustaining life through the giving of water. But this sixth bowl of His wrath is God's restraining His providential mercy, restraining that mercy to execute His wrath and His judgments upon the wicked. And so here's a warning to us of what will happen to us if we do not turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. The wicked will die and be judged and will be sent and thrust into hell, as we've already been prepared in chapter 15. And this sets us up for the final judgment, which we'll see next Lord's Day, and the Lord willing, and the seventh bowl of wrath, the day of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we do ask that You would be praised and glorified through Your justice, through Your executing of Your judgments, though we would ask that You would spare us, that You would save us from our sin and our wickedness, and turn us as we see judgments, as we think back upon what we've seen in our own lives, but even in we've read about in history and seen in history, Lord, we ask that You would cause us to see those judgments, the reality of Your promises coming about, You being faithful to them, these promises, and that we would turn from our sin and turn unto this, to You, a holy and loving, merciful God who gives us these water sources and like the Euphrates, and You don't dry them up for us. And so, Father, we ask that You would cause us to heed the warning here, even as Christians, that we would heed the warning, seeing Your holiness at work and Your justice at work, seeing Your wrath and what is produced in its entirety and its finality and its completeness. And this is just a sliver of what Your holiness and justice and wrath looks like. We cannot comprehend fully. We can't really understand completely what this means here in chapter 16. But we do know that it is not good. And we do not want any part of it. And so, Father, we ask that You would spare us from these things and cause us to turn to Jesus. Father, we do praise You that These judgments are not towards your people, but they are towards the wicked. And Father, you are preparing through these judgments, calling through these judgments sinners to repent of their wickedness, that they too would not come under these judgments. But as we'll learn next week, Lord willing, there is a final day, the day of the Lord, which there will be no more opportunity, and for many, there is no more opportunity by your providence. But Lord, we do pray, like the prayers of the saints that we've seen before in Revelation, we do pray that you would execute your justice, and those who persecute your people and spill their blood would be true and righteous in all your ways. O Lord, by your mercy, save them, if it be your will. And Father, this day we do pray for the people of our congregation here, those who are sick and hurting and recovering. We pray that you would heal tendons and bones. We pray that you would strengthen bodies, heart issues and cancers and other ailments. And Father, heal your people, that they would be able to be strengthened to worship you and serve you all the more for your glory. Lord, heal like you healed the paralytic, if that be your will. But Lord, let us see the great healer, Jesus, yourself, and your healing. And strengthen our congregation. Strengthen us in these times of trouble. And so we do pray for our government, that you would save those leaders and those ones serving over us. Lord, cause us to be humble and submissive to your word and to them as it pertains to your word. And Father, we ask that you would make them create a nation and a world that is easy and peaceable for your people to worship you. Lord, if it does come when that is not the case, we ask that you would give us strength to live well and to suffer well and to be persecuted well and to die well, and that we would stand upon the truths and the foundations of Jesus Christ and the gospel, and that we would not be scared, because there's no fear in death. There's no fear in love. But there's only fear in those who are judged. Lord, give us no fear. It calls us to put our comfort in Jesus Christ and fear you, that we would serve you and love you in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.